Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Hey, what's going on? What's been going on with your sci-fi life?
Oh, I'm just having a wonderful time. You know, one thing I forgot we probably ought to discuss a little bit is, I had a good time at Dragon Con.
Okay, we can talk about that. That's great. Let's throw on Dragon Con. Let's do that first. And then, you know, just to give you a sneak peek of what we're going to talk about, we're going to go SGU, Caprica, No Ordinary Family, and The Best for Last Fringe. But let's start off with Carl's adventures at Dragon Con.
Oh, now see, I just...
Wait. Let me cut you off. I'm sorry. I do hog the mic. How is it that you told no one that you were going to Dragon Con? This dude, let me tell you about Carl, you guys. This guy popped up at Dragon Con, sent me a picture. Hey, I'm at Dragon. Nobody knew. So this dude just hopping up.
Kat, you got to understand, I'm a man of mystery.
Yeah,
there's always stuff happening. Listen. Such exciting events as Dragon Con. You have to plan well in advance. You have to budget appropriately for. You got to set time aside for doing it.
So how is it that you went at the last minute?
See, that is the gag, see, because what ended up happening, because I didn't do any of that. So I was like, well, I'm just going to, you know, pass this year. And then a friend of mine called up and, you know, they were like, hey, we got a room and we need a little bit more cash to split the room. I was, well, how am I going to get there? Oh, well, you know, the train's not that bad. And so all of this stuff.
What? A train from D.C. to Atlanta?
Well, see, I really
think... That's pretty long.
Yeah, I think they really just wanted some money from me. So they left out a lot of the details about the train ride from D.C. to Atlanta. Apparently, the trains like to keep the temperature at about 30 degrees.
Dude, they're on a jacket. Stretch. Come on.
Well, listen, I was going to Atlanta. Why would I think, oh, I got to dress warmly for Atlanta? I'm in D.C. I was totally unprepared for the tundra-like conditions.
You didn't ask them for a blanket.
Oh, yes. The nasty, smallpox-laden tissue that they charge you for. They charge you for blankets now on the train. So I'm sitting here torn between, well, do I pay for a napkin to get underneath or do I try to tough it out? You know, so I'm a man. I can rough it, right? I was hurting. I was hurting on that train. And it was great because it was like a coup. People were going from car to car. Like one car would have the air conditioner on. One car would have it totally off. So one car would be 30 degrees. The other one would be like 90 degrees. And people were shuffling back and forth at 2, 3 a.m. No, it was nuts. So the train ride, that was not my favorite part. Thank God. So long story short is, I ended up there rather unexpectedly. I put some cash together and a couple of my friends just said, hey, we're going to do this. They had already planned, but I showed up with them. And this was my first Dragon Con.
Oh.
It was also my first convention of this scale. Because, you know, I live in the D.C. area, so, of course, I've been to, you know, Balticon and some of the other Shore Leave and all the other local ones that we have here. Which but rarely has a convention I've been to taken over a city. That was something I was just totally unprepared for. And
you ever read about Dragon Con? Have you met Dragon Con at all? I mean, man, that's what they do.
I heard it was good, but, you know, these little details, I didn't quite get fleshed out.
They have tons of blogs. If you do a Google search, what to do, what not to do, what to bring, what to prepare for. They have all sorts of stuff. I guess I did my research, and I still haven't went. I'm just living through you guys. You and Hanukkah went as well.
But see, again, all of that you do if you have advance notice, if you have planning.
I don't know. You had to get on the train. That train is a long ride, right?
Yes.
Takes a long while.
Right.
When you got on there, you could have texted me and said, I could have gave you some advice. You know what I'm saying? The train, what was it, like 80 hours for the train ride?
Yeah, about 92 hours is the train ride. So, anywho, let me get on with the fun part.
The first picture you sent me was a Legend of the Seeker Mord Sith
costume. She was rocking. And not only that, I think she had, because costumes were awesome. I mean, the main reason I was so excited about going to Dragon Con is I like to see the fans and what they dress up like. I love to see the work that they put in the costumes, and I like to, you know, sort of immerse myself in that sort of virtual, crazy world where anything happened.
Mm.
Anything happened at Dragon Con. It was.
You mean by anything?
We'll get into a little of that. But so, her Mord Sith costume, she had contacted the people at Legend of the Seeker to get details. I mean, she was like, you know, harassing the folks. And she was telling the story. She was really a hardcore fan. I think elements of her costume actually came from the set, like some of the bands and some of the stuff she managed to finagle out of the folks there and what she couldn't get from them. She made herself, she was beautiful. And she looked the part. You saw what the costume looked like. Mm-hmm. The detail was just incredible.
It was a little too red, but it wasn't the correct shade of burgundy. That's the only thing I noticed. Everything else was wonderful.
If she got parts of it from the actual set, I have a feeling that may have been my lame camera that did that.
Okay.
Trust me, she had it going. It was
a good costume.
She was. She looked great. And you remember? Did you see River Song? You know the whole spacesuit costume that River had on from Doctor. It was. These people. The time and the effort that people put into the costumes was awesome. So, all right, so one bookend on this is, yes, you're right, Kat, I did not have the proper preparation for going to this event. I did not have the proper preparation. I showed up there on a Friday. I stood in line for so long, I missed about half of Friday's events. Because, I knew there was going to be a line, but for Dragon Con people, those who were there know that line made no sense.
What is this line? Is this the line to get in? Or if you had paid beforehand, would you have skipped the line? Or what line was this?
Here's what was insane. The line that I was in was the line where people had already paid and were waiting to get their tickets. The insane thing is, if you had just walked up there and bought your tickets there, it would have been a little bit more expensive, but you would have had no line or virtually no line.
How much more expensive?
Oh, I mean, something like maybe $25-$30 more.
Oh, that would have been worth it. You should have just...
it was anger at that period. Plus, I had bought a banquet ticket, too. So, I don't know if they had any more of those. So I tell you what, Kat, I'm trying to find just the right theme music, but I took a video of the line at Dragon Con, okay?
I think I saw some pictures of your line.
No, you saw the pictures. You have not seen. I started at the beginning of the line, I hit record, and I walked all the way through the entire line, nonstop, recorded the entire line, just to see.
How many minutes?
What I'm talking about. Well, I fast-forwarded it, so you'll see, but it was hardcore. These people were not playing. That line was crazy. So, anyway, the line was... What you need before you go to something like Dragon Con is planning and preparation, right? These things I did not have. I did not have planning. I did not have preparation.
You had a costume, so at least there's that.
But you know that's because I happened to have one around. I tried to put something together at the last. I wasn't able to finish it, so I went as a Men in Black. I also went, you know, as Jay from Men in Black. I went as a Ghostbuster and was something else. I can't remember what it was. Shoot, I can't remember what my third one was. Anyway, I managed to wrangle something together for all 3 days, which was actually a lot of fun because just what happened, they had like the biggest representation of Ghostbusters at the Dragon Con.
Shut up, really?
It was unbelievable. Ghostbusters were everywhere. And I don't mean raggedy, you know, plastic trash bag and inflatable proton pack. No, I mean these people had authentic looking scale proton packs, the sewn on patches, their names are embroidered on. I saw it easily 5 Ecto ones of various generations. You know, one that was like an old hearse, one that was like an SUV, a modded up SUV.
What?
I don't know what happened. Maybe like again, I tell you, I did not have my proper preparation, so maybe I missed the memo. But the Ghostbusters were in effect at Dragon Con. It was ridiculous.
What about the stormtroopers? They always, the 501st, they always
You know, they were around, but I'm telling you, I saw more Ghostbusters than Stormtroopers.
I don't believe you.
I couldn't believe it either. But let me tell you, the Stormtroopers that I saw, my favorite Stormtrooper was, I think, the Bud Light Stormtrooper.
What does that mean?
Well, okay, you imagine, you know, the logo from Bud Light, and like the boxes and, you know, the beer logos and all that. It's got this blue and black. And imagine that. Marbled over a uniform, it was so silly. It was so awesome. They were just chilling in the lobby, and people were running up with their beer, going, "Hey!" It was just so crazy. I'm leaving out everything because it was just every inch of the floor had interesting costumes. I sat down while I was charging my proton pack, and I got to know the multi-dep. Okay, there was a guy there.
What is that? What?
I'm going to tell you. He was simultaneously dressed as almost every Johnny Depp costume character.
Multi-dep!
He was Jack Sparrow. He was Edward Scissorhands. He was, come on, help me out. Who are some other notable? He was the Mad Hatter. Somehow he had put all of these things together in one costume. It was awesome because when you look at him, you don't get it at first. You say, oh, well, that's Edward Scissorhands. But wait, what's with the hat? And then you start putting it together, and he was every major. It was awesome. It was awesome.
That is ridiculous.
You see these kind of things at every inch of the place. So on one hand, my poor preparation meant that I missed out on just about every darn thing that was at DragonCon. Because I got there, you know, late because of the line, I missed out on most of Friday's stuff. So many of the events are scattered around the 3+ hotels. So you got these three main hotels
Amateur hour. Comic-Con has like 80 hotels.
What? 80 hotels? Come on.
They have at least 4, 5, or 6, maybe 8.
Well, these are big. Well, like I said, I'm talking about the main ones. There were satellite stuff going on that I just couldn't even get that. Yeah. But so there were the three main hotels that are connected with the bridges. And then, you know, there was the registration hotel, which was way off and, you know, someplace you had to walk. And there were these other. So anyway, whenever you're looking through the booklet that you had to figure out what event to go to, not only did you have to triangulate it down to which one of the multi-hotel. And they had, you know, cryptic names like, you know, H312_B. You know, I'm saying, oh, come on. You know, I just. Trying to figure out, you know, is H to Hilton? Is it to Hyatt? And I'm running up the rogue, you know, Ewoks in the lobby trying to get help. clearly, I was an amateur at this. So all the stuff I wanted to see was invariably on one side, or the next thing I wanted to see was on the complete opposite side, and I couldn't make it back and forth. So what that meant is I ended up spending a lot of time just in the common areas on the floor, hanging out with people, getting to know people, and admiring costumes. And I feel bad that I missed out on stuff, but the people made it for me. It was just incredible every inch.
All I'd go for anyway. I mean, sitting in a room, listening to some folks talk about stuff, that my attention span is really short. So looking at the costumes, which is my favorite thing anyway, I mean, I try to count to see how many, you know, costumes that I've made may show up or something. You know, I think you had a really good experience sitting in some of the what do you call those?
The main hotel open atrium areas or
No, I guess the talks or whatever you call them.
Oh, yeah.
That's my least interested.
Well, and see, the other thing is you gotta be quick and opportunistic at these events too, because you'll be sitting in the lobby and you'll hear stuff. You know, you'll hear like, you know, a mob of stormtroopers over there going, "Dude, the entire cast of Star Trek Next Generation is giving away Slurpees in the hallway." And you, at that moment, you have to decide whether what they are saying is credible, whether it is something you really want to go to, and whether it's worth sacrificing what you are doing presently to make a break on the chance that what they are saying is true. Because so much of what the really exciting stuff was going on wasn't in the book, which made it even worse. You know, I got 9-12 tracks going on simultaneously, 4 hotels I got to navigate, and then the things that were going on weren't even in the program. So I'm listening to that, I'm going, that can't be right, that's not true. And then you hear other crazy stuff. You know, Ben Browder is actually seating people in the overflow room of the Farscape room. He's doing it by himself. You're like, ah, come on, come on. That, however, was true. And I was fortunate enough to be wrangled by Ben Browder in the over, you know, the ex room at the Farscape. I'm telling you, so random stuff.
What did he
like
do?
The,
I mean, what?
Well, the line for the major events were insane at Dragon Con. I mean, lines were literally going outside. I couldn't get in the Serenity Firefly, even though I waited in line for like an hour and a half. There's that, you know, the guy who comes out and he goes, okay, from here back, you guys aren't getting in. And that was, you know, the first lap around the hotel is where he did that. So I was sitting in the back of the Farscape line and bonding with the guy I met there. And he was like, well, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. And when we got to the hotel, when we got inside, there's this commotion in the corner. And people are like, are you, there's space over here. There's space over here. And there's this loud guy, you know, just sort of, you know, waving people around. And we look up, it's Ben Browder. And he's directing people. I'm like, holy crap, that's him. He's right there. He was hilarious. He was so much fun. And we did make it in. We had plenty of room. But the point is you hear crazy stuff like that. And you're like, that can't be true. That's not actually happened. And sometimes it's actually true. So it was a good time. It was a good time. I'm leaving out so much. Like, okay, the craziest costume I saw there, I think, was Iron Man. You're going Iron Man? That's not it. No. It was the original Iron Man. Let me clarify.
What?
There was a man dressed like a giant iron. Okay, he was a giant iron, and he's walking around. And on the back of the handle, it said Starch Enterprises. You know, it was just the eye holes, you know, the classic square Iron Man eye, were in the front of it, the plate of iron. Everybody had to get a picture with Iron Man.
He really
did it for this costume. It was so much fun.
Wow, that does sound like a lot of fun. That's insane. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And one last thing. I'll throw this in. So, middle of the event, I was tired. I was staying up crazy late. And I went into some sort of, they had like a little club there. And I'm sitting in the corner. And folks that like Stargate and watch Conan O'Brien may remember a character named Pierre Bernard.
Pierre's the sofa of intensity or something?
Excuse me, it's the recliner of rage.
There it is.
The recliner of rage. So I'm walking in there, it's late, I've got my prototype pack on, I'm exhausted, and I look around, chilling in the corner, Pierre Bernard. I said, what? And I'm looking around, not everybody that I was rolling with watches Conan. So I'm like, that dude right there, that's Pierre Bernard. Yeah, right, sure, that's Pierre. It's just a random black dude. No, I'm telling you. That is Pierre Bernard. And so he's like, oh, whatever. So I kind of walk over there like, excuse me, Mr. Bernard? He goes, yeah. I said, recliner of rage? He goes, that's me. I said, oh, man, Pierre. Pierre was cool, man. He was so cool. He took a picture with me. He took a picture of me for his page. He was like, dude, man, I'm having a great time. I couldn't believe it. So I got to chill with Pierre Bernard. I mean, see, that kind of mess happens. Dragon Con is a party all around. It's a party all around.
Aw, that's fun. That's a fun time. Yeah, I say I'm going to go every year. We'll see.
All right, well, I am planning ahead, so I am going next year. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you right now, barring any major catastrophes, next year, and I'm actually going to read the program, and I'm actually
going to... Well, I might be you next year, so I might bring a little knapsack and sleep on the floor in your room, so...
But I had to take it up with the other homeless people that show up when I go places. So but hey, if you don't mind, you got plenty of...
Nah, I don't know. Well, if you haven't planned by now, you're pretty screwed.
Trust me, I'm ready. I am going next year.
Well, that's awesome. That's a very colorful tale of Dragon Con.
Like I said, I only got the weak side of it. I got no plan.
You had a pretty good time. I mean, I guess a lot of people had their stories, but I haven't laughed so much anybody else's story because yours is just so wacky. And now when you start planning, it's going to get boring. And
No, won't happen. Will not happen. I'm telling you.
Well, that's cool. Well, let's talk about some TV shows. Let's start off with one that I promised that I'd never watch again, but somehow just keeps happening, so I guess I should stop promising, and that is Stargate Universe.
SGU cat. SGU.
Was that crickets? Did we just?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little tumbleweed rolled by there. I think you probably summed it up in your tweet best. It's like we just keep watching it for something that's not going to be there. We keep trying. We say this time it's got to be there. It's got to be better. What was? Come on, you start. What was wrong? What happened?
Well, first off, I've actually seen the premiere before, and when it was first called Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, see. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't see any similarities.
There's the Maquis that's going to stay on board because they're useful. They're going to join the crew. Before that, of course, they got thrown off on the... They had Seska, which was the other lady, the bad lady who...
And Seska, I like Seska so much better than this one. Seska had some style about her. This one... She didn't make it.
I remember Seska. I don't even remember this lady's name. I don't know.
Yeah.
I will say the premiere bore the crap out of me. The second episode brought a little bit of what BSG to it. Like the captain when he smothered his crew member to death so he wouldn't shoot himself. He knew he was gonna die. It was a powerful scene.
Yeah.
It's a powerful scene. I really like that. They throw out a gem like that. They try to every episode, like with the season premiere, they threw out, I don't know anybody's names today. Sorry. What's the pregnant lady? Tamara. Tamara's baby died. And they made this big elaborate story about it going to, for us, it would be heaven, but for her, it's going to the planet that, you know, they left behind and they most likely will never see again. And it gave her a little bit of hope. And I kind of like that on one hand, only if they never revisit it and we don't get to find out if her baby's there for sure or not. If they leave it open-ended, then it's kind of poetic in a sense. But if they...
You know they're going back there. You know they're going.
It's behind them.
It's Planet of the Ascended. They are going. For them to put that much effort in, we're going back there. Simply because I agree with you. I think they ought to leave it alone and say maybe it's heaven or maybe, you know, it's a spiritual plane and leave it at that. But no, they are going to go back to this place and we're going to see them time and time again. And because that cheapens it, that makes it less powerful. And that I know that's what's going to happen. And it's just, I'm sorry, go on. I'm sad.
No, that's my fear too. But other than that, SGU is everything I hated about Battlestar Galactica.
You got it.
We get some really, I mean, it's the only space show on TV right now. So is that right? Only space show?
I think so.
And so I watch it because of that, but it as a Stargate property, it's unrecognizable. I understand what they're trying to do. It's like Stargate art.
Yeah.
Where they're really trying to do this thing that they're doing, and some people love it. And I have some other guys that I want to get on the show that just really love this show. And I want to talk to them because, you know, you and I, we're the same person on this.
I agree with you. It's Stargate art. It is, you know, the sort of dramatic version. But like I said, it doesn't even feel like Stargate to me. It happens to be in the title, but all of the things that made the original two, you know, that had a connection between what I thought was Stargate, what I thought was the movie, is not in this one. But one of the things that bothers me, I guess, is I understand they're going in a dramatic direction with the show. Okay, fine. Just like with Battlestar Galactica. If you're going to hit me with some really heavy themes, you gotta give them the time and the respect that they're due. We're talking about killing a fellow soldier in pain. We're talking about losing children. We're talking about all of these really, really heavy things, right? If that's going to be your dramatic arc, if that's going to be the core of what you're telling in the story, then you got to give it the respect and the time that it deserves.
They're not interweaving the stories properly. I mean, this whole Lucian Alliance thing
rushed.
It was extremely rushed, and it felt like there was a panic, and they just wanted to, I don't know what they were doing, but if they want to go this route, they got to, you know, weave the story better, and it's just not, no.
And
but it's good at the same time, because what the actors are doing, I think they're very good. I think the sets are phenomenal. It looks great.
It's beautiful.
I think, you know, what Rush does and what the captain does and what everybody does, they're just right on the edge of being extremely compelling, but they're not crossing that precipice that I can't get into what they're doing. And I don't understand how, like, maybe Caprica is in trouble and not SGU. Yep. You know, I don't.
I'm with you. I like for my space shows to have a lot of space in them. and again, each of these items that we're talking about, the big dramatic themes, you can address them in a way that you're using space a lot more. Okay, now, granted, I'll give you the Heaven Planet. That was an interesting twist on that. But even so, I don't feel like, you know, they took their time with it. I wasn't feeling the emotional connection with the loss. It was because everything was always so rushed. It didn't quite sync with me. But
and plus, they were doing, like, tons of other stuff. They were trying to save the ship. They were trying not to get radiated. They were trying. I mean, it was just really a lot going on, but mm-hmm. nothing at the same time. And
well, how you feel? Do you think they're using Nepper as well as they could be?
Oh, for crying out loud! Okay, let's go elephant in the room. How the hell did he get on the ship? Where did he come from?
There's a magical door.
Frack! Did he get on the? Really?
The elevator has a Stargate in it. You see, there's a Stargate in the elevator they haven't found. And just like Rush's room, Rush's, you know, extra cockpit in there.
That was so understated that it was miserable. I didn't know what was going on. I was like, oh, wait, okay. So, because they threw his dead wife in there, and they threw maybe another dead cast member in there. I don't know if he was dead or not. I forget. But we find this big major room, and then we got a dead person in it. And I was just confused because, maybe this is just, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
And it is a new room, right?
I had to trace it back. I was like, because if I remember correctly, the only people who knew that the room was there were the alternate Marquee crew, you know, and the ones that got killed, and Rush, of course. So I think there was no one left of the original crew that made it in that space.
I care?
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
Why? What is so special? He didn't do anything but sit in the damn room and make
He threw the ship in the wrong drive. And, you know, we know that now Rush has control or can control the ship. And his tinkering with the ebb and flow of the Destiny's movements caused the lives of his fellow crew members. So now he's really torn. Do I share or not? And now he's haunted by the ghosts of friends past that are telling him, oh, Rush, you should do the right thing. I know. It seems like all this stuff ought to be compelling. You know, all this stuff really ought to be. No, it's just not. It's not.
I wish I could like this more. I'm really trying. And
It's pretty. It's beautiful to look at. Yeah, it's moving pictures that are well, you know, it's pretty.
And it's just, you know, we struggle with this show because it just can't be a case of me not getting it.
Yeah.
I am your target audience. I am the person that needs to be sold on this. And I don't get it. I get what they're doing.
They're redefining science fiction, where it's not so much science, it's not so much all of that quote space stuff. It's really about the interpersonal relationships of the people involved, and that's what real good sci-fi is, with wrestling.
And scene. Yeah. That is over.
that's all I got. That's all I got.
Yeah. Guys, if you're out there listening to us, you know, give me a tweet, you know, let me know why you like this show. We'll get you on, talk about that, because I need to be schooled, because, yeah.
Something's missing.
Yeah, we're missing something really big, and I feel left out because I do want to like it. I don't get it. So let's move along. And I mentioned Capra. Let's go to Caprica. Yeah. I just saw a tweet about how Caprica and SGU's ratings have failed, and they could quite possibly could be in trouble.
Well, you mean both of them, SGU both. And Caprica? Wow, both. Really? Okay, well. All right. Well, I'm
maybe
surprised.
Maybe Caprica more than SGU.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's probably the case. But I'm surprised that ratings have gone down with SGU because, frankly, I don't know how they were so high before. So
me either. I really don't.
Like, but okay, quit dogging it. But Caprica, oh Caprica, the premiere. Here's the thing. I so enjoy Caprica that I am trusting them on this. Remember the episode when we went into the history of the mob family on Caprica?
Yeah.
Now that one, I really enjoyed that episode, and I did not expect to enjoy it because I was thinking, okay, here we go, you know, hanging off and going into the dramatic direction. But the character and the stories of their lives and all that stuff was so interesting. And, you know, even them stepping into the Godfather realm.
Yeah.
Somehow it was still very interesting and it fit within what was going on. And it was an explanation that was underlying a lot of the buzzwords that we had heard throughout the series prior. You know, we heard about, you know, Adama's family and what all that stuff meant. It was always like sprinkled in there in these key words, and we were trying to put together what that meant. So when we finally saw the mob family and we got into their traditions and all of that, even though it was a departure, it was interesting, and it seemed like it was filling in pieces that we were missing from the series. It felt naturally connected to what we had seen before, as well as, you know, obviously, you know, we think the series is pretty. It's a pretty series, so you know, of course, the 20s outfits, you know, all it was missing was the Tom guns. They would really look great, but it seemed to feel good. So that episode, even though it wasn't that sci-fi, you know, so I'm trying not to contradict myself here with the SGU stuff, but at least somehow that was more compelling. It fit. Unfortunately, this premiere did not do that. It was like so much stuff came out of left field, and they did not connect us to all of that really intense stuff that was in the series finale. You know, we just barely got back to... you know, the Cylon.
Oh yeah.
You know, we just barely. What's her name? What's her name?
Zoe.
Yeah. So we just barely got. I mean, literally, we saw her getting put in a box. That was it. You know, where was what was going on in the virtual world? All of that stuff that really arced at the series finale. They just took us to the monastery here in the premiere, and all we saw was a lot of pain and a lot of background and a lot of other stuff that didn't quite connect us to what had happened in the past. Now, because I trust them, and because to me, really, this is the first time in Caprica that they've kind of, to me, it felt like they misfired a little bit. I'm letting it go because I believe that they're going to build on this in a way that makes sense. I trust them that way. But to me, it did feel kind of like a misfire because the way the series went out on the finale of the last season was so big. I mean, literally, we had car chases, helicopter battles, and I mean, it was all of this stuff. To go from that to tracing the lineage of the religious castes and what was going on, that was a hard jump, especially, and you know how we feel about being away so long when these, you know, when these sci-fi channel series give us these, you know, months of separation between when the season ends and the new season begins. Come on, you gotta engage us again. You gotta reconnect with people that loved the series before.
Well, that's what the ass kicking at the end of the episode was supposed to do for you, which I thought was a little lame.
Yeah, even that, again, didn't it feel forced?
I didn't get it.
Yeah.
That actress is just a little, I don't know. Her inexperience is showing, and I don't know. she was like more subdued, but she got a little bit more popular, and it just feels like, I don't know, something going on with her that I didn't like in this first episode with the asking, because I didn't get it, because I thought that should have been like Tamra doing that or something.
Mm-hmm. And there was so little of her there. I mean, you know, out of the whole story.
Yeah, it was just like so out of place. And I think I saw it initially on the Sci-Fi website, and I guess I saw it out of context, and I hated it, because I was like, okay, so now she's gonna fight in some really cool outfit with these great shiny pants and
rocking a Trinity. She was rocking a Trinity, which they do in that in the virtual world. You can definitely feel the Matrix in a lot of the stuff they do. But is it what you know? Wasn't the costuming issue? I'm just no.
I was thinking that was like my train of thought when I saw the whole thing. Like, I don't, what just happened? Well, you know, you didn't really like the I guess the monastery stuff, but I really liked what Clarice was trying to sell. And what she was trying to sell was, instead of, you know, people believing in God, and, you know, right now everybody, you know, thinks that, you know, they may or may not go to heaven when they die. Well, you know, instead of that, let's give them something tangible. I know already that two people that have died, and they are living, you know, a everlasting life in the virtual world. Why not, you know, be able to give people an actual place where they can go and live for eternity in a heaven of our making, and that's how we get them to our religion. And it's something like, after you die, you really can go there. And I really liked that. It was really compelling to me.
That was powerful. I will absolutely give you that. Like I said, I did not feel, well, let's just say I'm going to trust him, because like I was not a tremendous fan of this premiere, but of course Caprica always has elements in it that are truly interesting, are consistent, that make a lot of sense, that get your attention. Absolutely, that was one. And for old fans of Max Headroom, there was an episode very similar to the "It's Wonderful, Isn't It?" where a woman, actually she kind of looked like Clarice. Where a flim-flam artist tries to sell immortality in the virtual world the exact same way.
Okay.
So it was fun to see it again, of course, much greater scale with Caprica, but that is starting to imply, you know, what all of the rebirthing of the Cylons is about, and you know what the ships, the rebirther ships, are you know, the immortality, what the final 12 is all about. Yeah, we see where this is going, as well as why, you know, one of the things that can that'll really concern you about the direction of the human race is how they treat religion. And because we know where this is going in terms of the Cylons not being too thrilled with the human race and really looking down on us as being an imperfect species, man, one of the most divisive places to start is with religion. So you put in this this co-opted religion on top of a political agenda. And then you throw in the ever-watchful eye of an artificial intelligence on top of all of that. And this is starting to make sense why the Cylons took issue with the human race and, you know, what went terribly, terribly wrong between us. That is interesting. That's interesting. And I want to see it unfold in a little more interesting way. But I
do agree that there were problems. Like the scene with I forgot the best friend's name. It's right
Lacey?
On Lacey. Yeah, Lacey and Spike from Buffy. You know what bothers me on TV a lot, and I've seen it like 20 times this week, when they get this big ass knife and they stretch open their hand, the palm of their hand, and slice it open, and you know, give blood. No, nobody does that.
Surely that, you, at every magic Halloween shop where they are selling that knife that makes the blood on it, that's the exact same shot they do every time. So, Yeah,
that bothers the crap. I swear to God, every show that I watched this past week, they had that in there, and it just, what are y'all doing? Would you stop it with the palm slice? And nobody does that, except for people at the magic shop. But
well, they're just showing you that they're hardcore. I mean, see, if it wasn't that, they'd bring back the barbed wire. So you know,
yeah, I'm gonna stop you right there. Yeah, no, I'm gonna stop you right there. Caprica, yeah, I will wait. I'm scared for it. I really am scared for the ratings on top of how expensive it is. That first season, nothing can ever take that away from me, but I have a feeling that the second season is going to be a disaster because I don't know. I just have a feeling.
You know, fool me. I am going to remain optimistic about it.
Oh, I am, but...
Because I feel the same way. I mean, Caprica was extraordinary, really. The whole first season, it was just so beautiful.
Yeah,
and,
it was.
And I was so excited to see that. I'm sad that the ratings weren't better, and I don't quite get that, that why the ratings were so bad. But I'm hoping that they'll do some stuff. And remember, you know, me talking about Sarah Connor Chronicles. There are some kind of gimmicky things that maybe they ought to pull out. You know, they have the intelligence as writers to keep a strong, you know, core at what they're doing. But, you know, if they were to throw a little gimmicky stuff in there, a little more action, a little more excitement or something, just to make sure that the series stays on, please, because it's worth it.
You're going to have them having people sticking guns to their head, committing suicide on screen. And you know how that worked out.
Well, look, it does not have to be that. It does not have to be that. They're smarter than that. You know?
Let's hope.
But I'm still optimistic. Okay. And like I said, you know, what you brought up was a great point. I mean, you're talking about that immortality trade-off right there. And that wonderful trade-off between the faith of what could be, you know, the everlasting life that traditional religion has brought, or the cyber, you know, the cyber view of what the future, which is tangible, you know, that's guaranteed and all that. That's a great conundrum to throw out there, and that is dead on with what everything the series is about.
And I think they didn't hit that hard enough.
Yeah, true.
Because it could have been, you know, with all the other crap that was going on in the stupid fight scene, they could have really got into. And what was with the gotcha at the end with the wife? I thought she was actually dead.
Oh no!
Because he was moping around like she was, you know, the dust, kicked the proverbial bucket, and she's up there in a cabin on
chilling in the log. That wasn't so cool. But I'm letting it go because I
thought the actress left because she was doing something else and blah blah blah, and we weren't gonna see her. And I was already, you know, made my peace with not seeing her. Now we're doing this jerk around.
Yeah. Well, come on. We're going to keep hope alive for Capricorn.
Keep hope alive.
Yep, keeping hope alive.
All new ABC Tuesday at 8, 7 Central. One family has gone from ordinary to extraordinary.
Something impossible is happening to us.
You're doing a mile every 6 seconds.
I thought it was faster than that.
You can jump just over a quarter mile in a single leap. You can lift just in the area of 11,000 pounds. You can catch bullets.
You're telepathic. I think this is something we should talk about.
JJ?
I've got this super brain.
I don't know how or why, but it can do things. Amazing things.
Next, we're going to talk about something new, and that is No Ordinary Family. I'm going to tell you, Carl, the promo pictures and for this one and the promos, I didn't want to watch this. I was very disinterested. It looked awful from, I don't know what they did to it, but I was really turned off. Yeah. And we were supposed to have Charles Cadenhead on, and he said that this is one of the shows that he watched. So I was like, well, you know, if Charles watching it, maybe I should give it a shot. I gave No Ordinary Family a shot. I love it.
Yeah.
I love this show. It is Heroes first season all over again.
No.
Come on, Heroes first season was very good, and
No, I'm not arguing the first season of Heroes is good. I do not believe this show is Heroes first season. No.
Well, no, it felt the Heroes has been such a very long time, and I remember how I used to feel excitement. It feels like Heroes first season to me. Maybe it's not that, but the excitement, I mean, it's the Incredibles, live action Incredibles mixed with kind of what Heroes should have done. And hopefully they won't follow in the pattern of, you know, Heroes Carnival or whatever they were doing. But I really like this show. It's really cute. I didn't think I would like it. They do with the action and the powers. They it has an extra edge to it, an extra maybe a cheese factor. I'm not really sure, but the action on here, it really gets me, and I really like it, and I like the family.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm not liking it so much. I'm not liking it. No, and I'm trying to figure out why. Now, my superficial first answer is, it feels kind of corny to me. All right,
that's what I like about it. It's really.
We're gonna go into therapy here, and I'm gonna try to figure out exactly what it is.
Well, you watch Heroes all the way through, and that shit was corny, dude.
Well, it didn't start that way, and it wasn't supposed to be corny. It ended up corny, and that's why we didn't like it at the end.
Whoa! But, now you're admitting you don't like it, dude.
Listen, I told you I was trying. I was waiting for it to get better at the end, but we're not going back there. Listen, I like Greatest American Hero. I like, you know, all of these. So I'm expecting, I was really thinking that, you know, come on, I should be liking this, and I can't quite figure out why. I think it does feel kind of corny to me, but I think the thing that bugs me most about it is it feels kind of predictable. It's a little bit cliched.
Okay,
What do you think? That's a good thing? Look, I mean,
I liked all three episodes that they came out with. I thought they were really cute. I thought they were really easy. That you don't feel stressed out while watching it. You don't have to figure out. Well, I mean, you have to figure out why you don't like it. But it's not like SGU where it's hard and what. It's funny, and I don't know. I really enjoy this show. Haven't really given. You say it's cheesy or corny, or I don't.
Yeah, no, I'm watching it. First of all, the effects bug me. All right, the special effects bother me.
Which one?
Well, every fourth special effect gets it right. Every fourth one gets it right.
Like what,
all
though?
All the other ones. Oh, the jump. Anytime he jumps.
It's supposed to be ridiculous. It is.
No, it bothers me. It bothers me that you can tell that they're like lifting up the car from the back end. I mean, that's at Universal Studios. I mean, it's like every cliched special effect. That really, really bugged me, and so that was kind of bothering. How they reacted to their superpowers. Now, I will say, I think the mom is probably the most unique and interesting of the characters. I like her, and I like how she's and I like how she's kind of, you know, dealing with the powers. But everybody else, how they were doing it, it was like I had seen that before someplace. And particularly the daughter bothered me the most. The daughter bothered me the most about this because when you're going through those difficult times in early junior high and high school.
You sound like the beginning of a tampon commercial.
That's what it felt like when I'm watching it here. I don't want to stick out from all of my other friends. And, you know, because I don't want all of these powers that give me instant insight into what every one of my friends are thinking, which is what every high school girl would kill for. Now, I just want to be a regular teenage girl because they never have any problems. And that's the life I prefer. I mean, it was just, they have got so much to deal with. They got so much going on that the artificial stress that they were putting on this stuff, like, I don't want to. The boy, he's got all this crap going on. His parents don't, you know, are looking down on him because he's had trouble in school and they don't think he's that smart. The instant he's getting these Einstein-like insights into doing his homework, what happens? Well, I'm going to keep this from my family compounding the stress that I already have to deal with, because I don't want them to like me just because I'm smart now. Or it felt kind of contrived. All that stuff felt kind of contrived. And as you were saying in the beginning of this, the first place that they go to show off their superpower is a carnival cat.
I didn't even put that together.
You're bringing this back. I said, oh, and you know,
that is a horrible move.
When I am really feeling like I need to get away from it all, I'm going to go to the top of the Ferris wheel. We've never seen that before. I'm a strong man at a carnival. Let's see. There were only two things he was going to do. And that was the major twist in the story as far as I was concerned. Was he going to do the dunk tank? Or was he going to do the pyramid of milk bottles where he has to throw it out? It's the same.
No, I thought it was going to be the bell where you throw the hammer on it to see
good point. That's right. I forgot the bell and the hammer. You know, that kind of thing is like, come on. Come on, people.
I think this is like Scott Pilgrim, where you just expected way too much out of it.
Can't I get something new? Come on. How many? Literally. Heroes was canceled at a carnival. Why are you going to open this series? Come on. It's just no. All that was missing, and I was hoping Eric was going to be on, where was the sad hobo? I was just looking for the sad hobo to come out of the corner someplace.
Eric is watching the Cowboys. We want to see him for the rest of football season.
Sad hobo. But anyway, so right away, it's just like all of these things that we've seen before, cliches, that you got your own show, you're blazing new trails.
I think you're too hard on this. And, you know, I've been watching these TV shows dead tired. I have so much to do now. So the easier it is for me, I just think... You're trying to get too much out of these shows.
Too much? I just want something different. If you got to get a superhero show, don't give me the same thing we literally saw a couple of weeks ago.
That would be called The Event.
Okay. Look, I was trying to hold it in. We had a list of shows that we were going to talk about, and I was trying to hold it. Listen.
I told somebody that I watched the show when it was called Flash Forward. I am not going to do. People will defend this show like nobody's business. I've been called out on Twitter, told stop hating it and stop.
You and I remember when I introduced this show to you on your podcast.
Bastard.
The saddest thing, and here's what the saddest thing is: I watched a 60-second preview of what the event was. That's all I saw. That's all when I was telling you about. That's all. And I nailed everything about what the series was going to be. What? That is wrong. I should not be able to sit down and watch what's supposed to be, you know, because when you're talking about stuff like Lost, when you're talking about 4400, and when each of those series premiered, they were absolutely groundbreaking and revolutionary in terms of we didn't know where they were going. We had no idea what was happening. We didn't have a feel for what direction the show was going in. No matter what you think of those series in the past, one thing you can say is they started out being truly, truly unique.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to sit down during the end of what was it they were canceling? Oh yeah, through the end of Flash Forward. This was during the last episode of Flash Forward is when I saw the commercial for the event.
Yep, I remember that.
In 60 seconds. For me to sit there and know what the feel of the show was going to be like, what the components of the show was, what the twists and turns were going to be like. That's disappointing. That's really disappointing. And I have watched it. I sat down and I watched
that premiere too, and I couldn't do it.
I wanted
to see Ritter's son because it's like, that's neat. I like him. They had Tony Todd in it, dude. Tony Todd.
Yeah.
How I feel about Tony Todd. If I can't watch a show just because of Tony Todd, that's some pretty bad stuff.
I've watched two of them. I watched that one and I watched the one that followed. And
you watched two. Did it get better?
I tell you what, it moved from Lost to 4400. That's what it did. So it's not Lost so much. Now it's 4400 with a little flash forward thrown in. I mean, you even have the detective edge on it, where the detective is there, that, you know, you got to win her over, because, of course, you know, she's trying to arrest the hero of the show because she's following the rules and regulations, and no one could, he couldn't possibly be telling the truth. And then all of a sudden, something happens that she says, wow, maybe that's the truth, and now they're allies. I mean, come on. We've seen that before, and for the, it just, the event, come on, guys, come on. I just, that's what I'm talking about. People keep creating these shows, and it's like a multi-sided die. They just took pieces out of other shows that they'd seen before, and they literally just threw them in a hat, and bam, that's a D20 right there, so we're going to have a detective, girlfriend in trouble, lock them in the, I'm not a fan of the event.
Yeah. Well, that's enough of trashing the event. I did that last time. Let's move on to something I think we both like, and that is Fringe.
Thank God for Fringe. It's awesome. It is awesome. That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying bring me something new. Bring me something.
Did you like that premiere?
And I loved it.
I liked the premiere too. I thought a lot of people thought it was kind of slow, but I really enjoyed seeing the alternate universe. I really enjoy seeing the slow change from Olivia to Alt-Livia.
Yeah.
We got to see so many different things about the alternate universe and just the scenery of it and how it's different and not different at the same time, that I just, for some reason, I really liked that, the direction and of that episode a lot.
Look at what is going on. You remember last season when we were when we literally only saw a window into the parallel universe?
Yeah.
And we were talking about how exciting it would be to explore that world and to see what that place would be like. The season finale took us over there. You know, we got to run around and see the bronze Statue of Liberty, and we got immersed in that parallel universe. It was beautiful. It was so exciting because you're not used to shows opening up. You know, we're used to the bottle show where, you know, you get a glimpse at something, or, you know, for one episode you step in there and then you come back. And so with the finale, I was thinking, oh wow, you know, they've got the big budget, we got, you know, Leonard Nimoy in there, all the great stuff's happening, and then they're coming home, and then they do the little twist where we realize, oh wait a second, it's not our Olivia, and then bam, right up for the next season, they start out the whole show was set in the alternate universe again. And what's exciting is it's like we're getting two shows in one.
It is. This show is so layered that we got a filler show in the alternate universe last week.
They have instantaneously doubled the entire cast. Everyone that we knew from Fringe now has like the alternate universe Fringe. It's like everyone is two people now. And it's not, you know, as superficial as, oh, he has a beard. You know, no, these people... These people have agendas, and they are, you know, you can see how they fit together in the interplay, and they are decidedly different from their alternate versions of themselves. And oh, it was so exciting when the series, when the show premiered, I mean not the season premiere, but the second episode, when you're watching it and you don't know what universe you're in, and you're seeing, you're hunting around, you're like, what's the clue, what universe are we even in this week? And for me to sit down and have to sit there and pick out, by the way, the clue for last week's episode of Fringe was the Aruba war vet sign. Okay, that was to me, and maybe somebody else caught something else, but the Aruba war vet sign was the only hint that we were in, or was the first hint that we were in the parallel universe of what was going on before. You know, we had pins, and we had, you know, the mailbox guy, and people buying. The only thing I saw there was it was the war vet. But so anyway, so I mean, that is what I'm talking about. That was just beautiful. That and that they have a cast that can pull off a parallel version to themselves. You know, I've always liked Peter. Walter. Walter's my favorite character on there. And the first episode where we see. Where we saw him assembling his brain parts. Okay, see, this is what I'm talking about. Fringe is crazy that we got to tell a story like this. Remember the episode where he was putting his brain together, and You know, and stuff, and we got a glimpse of that, you know, the dark side of Lou. Mm-hmm. And I, from that point, I said, man, not only is this guy a stellar actor, but at that moment, I really, really wanted to see what a dark Walter would be like. And so, bam, we got the alternate universe going on. We got, you know, dark Walter running things, in charge of and everybody that was beneath him. Very interesting people. I like all of the, how the characters have become distinctly different people in the alternate universe. And it's we had an entire murder mystery fringe case set in a parallel universe. They doubled everything about the show in one. Awesome.
I mean, because that's why I said we had a filler episode in the alternate universe. It felt kind of filler to me because it really didn't connect to anything, but it was still good.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about.
This is a top show. This is a top-notch show. It doesn't disappoint. It made me watch X-Files Fight the Future the other day because it's an X-Files replacement for me.
I was just about to say, Fringe started out, and I was not a fan of the first season of Fringe. Fringe started out kind of like a techie, kind of a poor imitation of what the X-Files was about. It wasn't as dark. It didn't. And I wasn't digging it in the beginning, but I hung in there. And what they have done with the series, or what it has evolved into, I don't know if this is what they had in mind when they you know, conceived it, or if they just kind of moved with the fans to create this richer place that it's at now. But this is it's a beautiful, rich world. They've got interesting characters. They got compelling stories, stuff that totally unpredictable things going on. You know, is that no girls on the Ferris wheel. The only pattern, the only trend that I have learned about Fringe, the only one thing that I know is coming in every episode is I gotta quit eating during the opening Fringe. That is, I have every time, because it's right when I'm trying to make dinner, right? Every time I'm sitting down, I got my lasagna and spaghetti out here, and I'm watching bugs crawl out of dudes, a tentacle coming out of somebody's ear, heads exploding. And so now I know, the one thing I know is do not eat during the opening sequence of Fringe. All right? They went easy on us this time. It was only people getting
on. Yeah, and then they backed it up with Supernatural and they added that crap.
It was just, well, so that's the only predictable thread that I have been able to find, you know, among Fringe episodes. Do not eat during the opening of Fringe. You'll be fine.
It's gross.
Yeah, they're hard.
That one episode where I thought Walter ate brain off of his tie.
Yes. But you see, the thing about Walter,
and then the head exploded in the subway. Nah, you can't eat the whole episode because they surprise you. Not only did the head explode, they showed the body without the head and the.
And let me tell you, that dude wasn't looking healthy before his head exploded. All right, that I was kind of hard checking that guy out. Yeah. But you know the thing about the Walter eating the brain. I'm not sure he knew it was jelly in the beginning. That's Walter. That is what makes Walter Walter. I don't think he was really sure whether it was jelly or not. So that was fun.
Yeah.
So I'm digging Fringe. I like very much the alternate world, the alternate universe. Free the Amber. I mean, just all the little things that they are doing to create a believable alternate world is a rough one. I mean, you got bugs living in people. You got Kentucky Fried Cop that you got to get in the chamber.
You have places where oxygen is not there. Like,
yeah,
what is
that
about?
That? Yes, yes.
That's very interesting. I just love the alternate universe. I mean, you got everything is just so bizarre. And to them, it's normal. But I don't know where they're going with the Olivia Alt-Livia thing. It's interesting, but I wonder, like, after they wrap this up, then what?
Yeah. Well, you know what they need to do? This is what needs to happen. Right as they are about to have our Olivia, who is stuck in the alternate universe, our Olivia learn that she can walk between both worlds, she needs to realize, oh, wait a second. This isn't where I need to be. I need to get home now. And then, you know, have everybody start to close in on her as she tries to make her way back. And then she has to, you know, she has to confront Kentucky Fried Cop. She ends up shooting him. And then the alternate, I mean, the Olivia Hunter, the one that's going to bring her down before she can make it back to the universe, Jessup. They got to bring Jessup back.
Oh, here we go. Every time. Every time we talk about French, like, you are Eric, like, with this agent Jessup. It's ridiculous. You know, this lady is gone. She was there for one episode.
You know what an awesome chick battle that would be to have Olivia and Jessup going at it. Just like she's trying to step into the alternate world, and she's there with a gun going,
you know, you're what? Not
that I'd be crying.
Guys, thanks for our show. Give us a call at...
You can't, don't leave me, Jessup. Come on, you gotta come back. Come on. You got a whole other universe now. You can bring it back. You can bring it back.
Nobody remembers that lady except for like you and Eric, and that's it.
I have a feeling there are many fans that are holding a candle out for Jessup just like I am. So, come on, you can bring her back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're going to wrap this one up. This has been a very fun show. We talked about a lot of things. I guess next time we'll try to throw in maybe Chuck, Supernatural, Smallville, some stuff like that. But, you know, until next time, guys, give me a call, 773-336-2686. Email us at scifipartyline@gmail.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. Message us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/scifipartyline. scifipartyline.com to leave some comments. Woo, we got a lot of stuff.
You're everywhere, Kat. You're everywhere.
I know, just... find us somewhere, leave us a damn message, and we'll say hi. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.